Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, yes, yes. It's the Sports City Chefs, the Callers Cookout, the villain versus the hero where good always wins. We're coming for you here live on a Wednesday, a little nicer weather than we've had. A lot of rain up here in the East Coast, July 14th, 2021. The villain is here. Been under the weather the last couple of days. Finally starting to feel better today. Little low on energy, but you know, doing a lot better. Call-in number as always, 929-477-2759. Call in if you want to talk to the chefs, you want to talk to the villain. We also got the main man himself, the head honcho, the superhero, the man in charge, TP Timeless. TP, what's up, bro?
The whole world's taking off, so I took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Welcome to the cookout. So since he's under the weather, you know I got to come save my little brother. You know this is like Loki and Thor. Like, I got to come save him, man. They got him chained up. They about to take his head off. Don't worry. I got you. Just sit there, man. Thor, time start with a G. You know, I got to do it. So if he want to be the bad guy, steal an Infinity Stone, don't worry. We'll get it back. I'll get him where he need to be, so on and so forth. A lot of interesting things popping off. We got game four tonight in the NBA. All-Star Weekend just went down. And, of course, the American League taking care of business. Can't wait to jump into a lot of that. A lot of news and notes across the board, especially what's going down with our team going to Tokyo. I am not comfortable. I can't wait to start spilling some beans on them. We got a lot, man, So stay tuned. Just like Barry said, check out SportsCityChef.com with the merch. They're doing a beautiful job. Shout out to the Jordan Foundation and the Simmons Foundation as much as possible, man. But we're here right now. I'm focused, man. Tell Barry and Shy to holler at me, man.
Absolutely, man. Listen, definitely get to the website. Shout out to our boy Caviar, man, Caviar Matt, man. Got a new single out there, Body Language, sounding real lovely out there. So, you know, he's definitely the co-author, basically the author of our theme music that we intro and outro with. So blessed to have him a part of the team in a musical fashion. So make sure you go out there on all streaming devices and check that out. I listened to that. It's some fly stuff, man, you know, from repping that CT, man. That 203. So, yeah, man, listen, there's a lot going on. I literally have either been laying down, sleeping, or both. And I haven't really been keeping up too much. I wake up, you know, I've been in my lair dreaming, scheming, planning, plotting my mad campaign to take over. And I look up, All-Star break is in full effect. We have the All-Star game. We got news coming out of Seattle with Richard Sherman that I haven't really kept up too much on. So I don't know if you want to get into that, but, you know, we could either save that for later or for another day.
We'll start with the controversy.
Okay.
Start with the controversy because it's more opinion-based
than
what we know, you know?
Yeah. So let's get into that. Absolutely. So, you know, I think it was he was arrested. A warrant was issued, and he was arrested, I think, in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken, or in the Seattle area in Washington where he
is. It's in the state of Washington. I don't know the specific city, but it's not Seattle. He's not in Seattle.
Right. So it's he was arrested at his wife's parents' house. I think it was suspicion of domestic violence. He's still in jail as far as we know. I think some audio has actually been leaked. I don't know if it's verified or not. I think the homie Sirius had threw that our way. So I definitely don't want to – I didn't want to listen to it because I wasn't sure if it was verified or anything yet. But, I mean, what we've heard is that, you know, there's minor lacerations on, I think, his leg or his wife's leg. I think in his leg, his lower leg and his ankle – you know, as you know, when he was in contact with the police dog. But I mean, there's issue going on with Sherman and his wife. You know, they're saying domestic violence. So, you know, and right now he's not attached to a team. He's a free agent. But obviously he was one of the better cornerbacks in the league. So this is big news. So, TP, I'll let you, you know, put your opinion on it. What do you think is going on? I know the barbershop must be popping right now with this news that's come off today that Richard Sherman is in jail for domestic violence.
The crazy part about this is everything that I'm going to say and probably majority of people right now are going to say are opinionated unless they're in that
mm-hmm.
area of Washington State and in the police department. But to me, I feel like Richard Sherman is way smarter than this situation to be in this ordeal here. And mm-hmm. whether it is a burglary like they're saying and domestic violence, is like, and I was talking to somebody that's actually been in the penal system and saying that, you know, like if he tried to like hold the door from slamming on him, that could be a burglary situation. So this could be a petty situation.
Wow.
This could literally be, or this could be a literal situation where he really did something. But if he has lacerations, then I know something had to physically happen if he's gotten cut, unless the police did that upon handling him. So I want more to fall out. But just speaking on him and his wife, they have audio of his wife. So it's like she was talking about him in a different context. So it's like what's going on if she's now going to bat for him, like he's fine. But the audio was saying that he was under the influence. So it's like she's trying to do something to, like, make this right after she already started the storm. So I can only imagine what's going on. I want to hear more about it. But this does have me, like, puzzled on what could have potentially happened as more of this starts to fall in line. But, again, for him to be a graduate from Stanford University, for the intelligence that this guy has, knowing that the focal point is going to always be on somebody like you who ended up burying Skip Bayless to let them know how intelligent you are, they can't wait for an individual like you to fall apart. And you have to be smarter than that. If that's a problem, then go to the bank, pull out $1 million and count it. Like, count it and get bored. Mm-hmm. Like, do something like that. Like, there's no reason for you to mess up everything that you worked on up until this point. Whether it's her getting her way, you got to go to a hotel and just breathe for a day or a week, then do it. But right now, this could end up costing you more money than you want to. Happy wife is a happy life. So I don't know everything. But hopefully he can get into this the best way as possible and they can get things dropped. But right now this is looking bad, especially the way the NFL looks at domestic violence situations. So this may be an uphill battle, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what is it? Mongo, the linebacker, had just basically got released by the Falcons, not on a similar charge, but, you know, a pretty serious charge of a child, I think, trafficking or pornography or something like that. So, you know, it doesn't take long for the league to act, and, you know, they've probably got better investigators than the police departments. And once they figure out what's going on, usually beforehand, it's a wrap. So, I mean, there's a lot of, to your point, there's a lot of twists and turns going on with this case. You know, you have the hit and run / DUI that's come into play. Now you have the domestic violence, which they're saying is a misdemeanor. Let's got to be fair about that. But then you also have, resisting arrest, which they're obviously going to get with the dog, and then the officer having minor injuries, I guess, after the arrest. And, you know, and to your point, you know, he tried to kick in the door. He didn't get entry into the front door, but that's a charge right there that they could stick on him if they can't get these other charges to stick, because, you know, they're going after – they're going to go after somebody like him, to your point. They're going to either make an example or just going to go after him. So, there's a lot of twists and turns. I think we have to see more information come out. It's really early. In this society, though, especially as an athlete, for us, a black athlete, you're guilty until proven innocent, like the Jay-Z song, you know what I'm saying? So, underrated album, not great, but really good album. But Guilty Until Proven Innocent is going to be what they're going to say to Richard Sherman. So we'll see what happens. I tend to agree with you. He is a very intelligent person, smarter than anybody really gives him credit for. So I don't want to pass judgment and say yay or nay. You want to respect the women that bring up the charges, because it takes courage for them, but we don't know the circumstances. So we just have to kind of wait this out and see what happens, you know, and be respectful for both sides. I hope it works out for everybody. You don't want to see this happen. Richard Sherman is a trash talker. He's kind of annoying if you're against him, but in all, he's a really good guy, and he's an upstanding person. So I just want to kind of hang my hat on that, you know what I mean, and call it, you know, for what it is. So we actually do have a caller in queue from the 703, Mr. Sirius Aaron Simmons himself calling in. Sirius, what's up, my brother?
What's going on, my man? How's it going this evening?
Oh, man, you know, we wanted to get this little appetizer going. Talking about Richard Sherman, I know you had brought it up to us offline, so I definitely want to give you a shout and a chance to talk about Richard Sherman being arrested currently in jail with a litany of charges right now. I'd just love to get your opinion, what you see today.
You know, man, here's my take on it. And I'm torn, you know what I'm saying? Like, if this mm-hmm. had been any other person or any other situation, I would be leaning one way or the other. But with Richard Sherman, he doesn't have a history of anything like this. And so I have a couple friends of mine who are saying, you know, they're not trying to get him, or you know, they're playing the conspiracy theory or playing the race card or whatever the case may be. I listen to the 911 recording, you know.
Okay.
I listen to it. Something's not right. Something's not right. Now, it's going to take a hell of a lot to doctor something like that. But you know, if what the woman is saying is accurate on that recording, and again, I did send that recording to you all, but if what the woman is citing on that recording, there's a whole lot more going on than just a domestic situation. Like, she said that, you know, he was threatened to hurt himself. So that poses a whole litany of different questions and a whole litany of different situations that, you know, reporters and sports writers and bloggers like us sitting here haven't even unpacked yet. Keep in mind, this is a guy who is a free agent who was trying to hop onto a team for the 2021 campaign. This ultimately will impact if and where he signs. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're Richard Sherman and, you know, you're putting in your job application to play safety or to play corner for a franchise, you got this hanging on over your head. It's going to be very difficult for a team to bring you in, regardless of whether it's fake or not. You have this hanging over your head, which is why we still have yet to hear about what's going on with Deshaun Watson. You know what I'm saying? But I digress. For me, man, this is troubling on all fronts. This is something that we need to comb over with a fine-tooth comb. Up until recently, I have held Richard Sherman in the highest regard with the utmost level of respect for what he's done off the field with his charity work and his response to kids and things of that nature. I love this game on the floor, on the field. You know, he kind of mirrors myself when I played the game, kind of mirrors me now, you know, with the trash talk and, you know, the confidence and, you know, being an educated African-American man who understood his value and understood what, you know, what he stood for. So with that being said, you know, this is really troubling for me. This is really troubling for me. I wish him the best. I really hope that the story comes out and, you know, this is a bunch of mess and he declares name. But if he's guilty of any or all of this, this is going to put a really black mark on his legacy that he's worked so hard to build, whether it's the domestic violence, whether it's the hit and run, whether it's, you know, resisting arrest or whatever it is, this is going to, you know, dramatically put a black mark on, you know, his career and his legacy. And at this stage of the game, I really don't want that for the guy.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I just, you know, I hate passing judgment before we get a lot of the evidence. And to TP's point, I don't know if you heard it before you got in, you know, before we started. There's a lot of twists and turns that's going on with this. You got so many different charges coming up, and one is related to the actual call, and then one's related to what happened after the cops got there, and, you know, then more stuff coming up with the DUI. There's just a lot of elements going on right now, and it's hard to really kind of just say, okay, this is what happened, and he's super guilty. So, you know, I respect your opinion, and I definitely want to just take a step back, let the evidence come out, just kind of like, you know, with Deshaun Watson, and let's see what's happening. You know, let's get both sides, let's get everything, and then, you know, it'll probably take care of itself. And, you know, that's it. I mean, you know, especially with Mongo too, because, you know, he's got his own defense and what he's saying about the child issues and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll definitely see. And I just don't want to, you know, go ahead and label him guilty. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know if anybody else has anything to add, and we could just move on from that. I mean, definitely, you know, the hot topic of the day, for sure. But if anybody has nothing else, we can definitely move on to another dish. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like there's more of the evidence starts to fall out when the weekend comes around. The bunch, I'll definitely be trying to, you know, cover that as best as possible. So I know whoever I have with me in the bunch, we'll be going over it as more of this falls out. I'm just not so hung up on him burglarizing with him having probably a decent amount of money in the bank. I don't want to just say just him being an NFL star that he has millions and millions, but he should have something to make him think, like, I'm not burglarizing a home, but the domestic violence situation that they could probably add to it just because a cop could be like, well, I'm going to put this on, attack this on, you know, like, just knowing what type of games they could play. So this is why I want to wait and see as much as it potentially falls out. So give it time. Sunday, I'll be back in this kitchen cooking. Don't worry.
Absolutely. Sunday brunch with Timeless and Steve, 11 o'clock on Sundays, Eastern Standard Time, if you didn't know. Shameless plug. Listen, so, I mean, we don't talk enough baseball. We got a little bit last week. I thought it was cool to talk a little baseball. So I definitely want to get into that this week. You know, baseball had their kind of weekend. You know, for me, watching Sunday, the Yankees blow another lead in the ninth inning, and then Monday with everything that kind of transpired with Ohtani and the remarks made on ESPN by their lead analyst kind of overshadowed the fact that the night happened and the home run derby happened and Oshani and company put on a show.
Who's the guy? Who said something about Oshani?
Oh yeah, I don't know if you want to say names. I hate bringing guys up to get shine, I just want to bring
this to your attention. I just asked the question. I know, you know, just to tell me how you feel. I mean, who's the person?
No, I mean,
you know,
I mean,
you
yeah,
give me initials. Give,
you know,
give me initials. Give
no,
me initials.
No, 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 no. I have no problem saying Stephen A. Smith's name. I just didn't want to, bring up other analysts on the show.
Cool.
But I mean, if cool. let's spend 5-10 minutes on it, and then we can move on because I really want to talk baseball. But honestly, Stephen A. Smith made comments, I think, mostly insensitive to the Asian American community, especially with everything that's kind of gone on with the Asian hate. Now, he didn't say anything hateful, he just said something ignorant, and a lot of times people, we say stuff ignorant, but when you're in a position like that and you're on a network and you're basically representing a network or a company, you got to be smarter than that. So I think the comments were likened to couldn't pronounce his name and didn't really apologize for it, and I think that was a Nigerian player that he actually couldn't pronounce the name correctly either. And then
He has more than one thing going on right now.
Right. And then the main comment, I think, about Ohtani was basically the fact that it's going to be hard for the best player to be the face of the league because he needs an interpreter. Just a lot of different elements and ways to go with that. TP, I'll let you take it, and then we in series if you want to, you know, get ahead of that, go for it, and then we can shift. So go ahead, TP.
You know, honestly,
I said TP first.
I'd rather follow you. Go ahead.
Okay, so first and foremost, you know, salute to baseball. We'll talk about baseball and the All-Star Game and Home Run Derby here in a minute. But my issue right now is with Stephen A. Smith. You know, for him to stand on the table, you know, spin sideways and literally damn and condemn racist America for what they say and do to African American and brown players, for him to make this type of statement is stupid, it's moronic, and it's not smart. And I don't care if he's listening or not. You know, you can't play the fence. You can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You know, I don't care if Ohtani is you know, from Japan, Korea, Africa, you know, Mars and Pluto. The brothers playing excellent baseball. So for you to sit here and say that the player or the face of the MLB, you know, can't be that guy totally negates what you stood up for. You're a joke at this point. Now, with that being said, you know, I understand that you have a job, and I understand that your job at times is to say what, you know, the controversial thing and to say what other people may or may not be thinking or to say whatever you need to say to get clicks or, you know, to get likes or shares or to have us here in the kitchen or in the barbershop or wherever talking and saying your name. But you cannot stand on your head like you stood on your head and profess Black Lives Matter and stop Asian hate and blah, 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 just in the third and then in the next breath come out and say some stupid-ish like this. I'm disgusted with what I heard. I rewound it and listened to it multiple times to make sure I heard what I heard. I have friends of mine who have Asian descent. They called me because they know I do this sports talk thing. They called me and was like, yo, Aaron, did you hear what he said? Stephen A. Smith's fan. Okay, y'all know this. a lot of the stuff that he says, I actually agree with. Me and Thomas went to war in this building about what he said about Russell Westbrook, because I agreed with it. But for this clown
Who was the person?
To jump on national TV and say some hateful, stupid-ish like this? Nah, bro, miss me with that. I'm not taking your whack-ass apology. I'm not taking your, you know what, I got a job to do. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. And ESPN should be ashamed of themselves for not firing this man on the spot. You fired Paul Pierce from ESPN for having strippers in his room and having some type of resemblance of some type of weed or whatever the case may be. On his all time. You wasn't on the clock when he said that. You fire people on your network for significantly less. And you let this cat rock? You let this cat ride? Disrespect. I can't with them right now. I cannot with them right now. And I'm going to shut up and let TP talk now.
And this is crazy. He said me and him were arguing about what person that he defended? Who would experience that? Okay. So, would you look at the fleas on Fluffy? And here goes the craziest part about this and how it goes down. In 2001, and I'm going to set up the perfect stew to put right on this grill just so you can get a scoop of it, because you from Queensbridge. You from Queens. So I'm going to do this for you. There's a rap artist that put a song out in 2001 going into the year of 2002. His name is Nasir Jones. And the name of the album was Stillmatic. The name of the song was called What Goes Around Comes Around. And what goes up, it must come down. Your soldiers are found below the ground. Just hold it down. You older now. So that's the crazy part and the message that I sent to you, SAS. And the crazy part about this is you call out every single person in America that may make a mistake and blow it up on a worldwide screen of ESPN. Now it's you not doing it once, but you did it twice in about 24 hours. In about 24 hours. And the crazy part about it is not only did you do it to the Asian, nationality or person of Asian descent, you did it to somebody from the motherland where your blood resides in Africa, from Nigeria, and you think that's cool, and you just apologize to Ohtani, and ESPN swept it under the rug. You are hilarious. It is a joke, and this is what I've been telling the two of these guys that are on air with me right now about Stephen A. Smith. I am not comfortable with him. He does a lot of funny stuff. If he's wrong, he will not come out to the forefront and defend it at all. He tried to come up with the normal defendant speech, as usual, to try to defend that. That's a mockery. That is a mockery. And he hurried up and put that together. And this is the same guy to be like, oh, I've been doing media since the early 90s in Philadelphia. And you can't talk to me. You can't do that. I don't want to hear it. Because now look at all of that experience that you have. You are not strong upstairs to be able to watch what you do. To watch what you do, let alone, that's not even like a slippage of the tongue. That's something that you blatantly thought out and said that he needs an interpreter. That's something that in the coffee room or at the water tank that you're having that conversation. And you said that, let alone you're going after Nigeria and talking junk about Nigeria. All of the people that have spoke about Stephen A. Smith and he's been getting away with it, how many people get the apology? How many people like Kwame Brown, all of that, Slava Medvedenko, all of that, when Jalen Rose was trying to call him out, and he went to go defend Skip because he was calling out Jalen. This is why I went more pro Jalen Rose, way against Stephen A. Smith for trying to defend Skip Bayless in that situation. I'm not trying to hear it. I'm not trying to hear it. And they're going to let him back on air, let him do his thing on First Take. First Take is probably their best show that they have up there, even though I feel like there's other shows that I like more than them. Around the horn, I'm a fan of Stat Boy, to be honest, because Stat Boy, keep it real, he don't put his thoughts out there. He's you know, a sharp shooter. I love him out of all of them. Other shows I don't watch up there. So it's like watching him belittle other people like Max. I know you're wrong. I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. All of this comes right back to you. This is what I'm talking about. There's a word called karma, and that's the word Nas used in the middle of that song. Sleeping on people's dreams. You leave when somebody blows, you be the first person on their knees. If you didn't hear that song, please listen to that song. It's a classic that people watch go over their heads. You from Queens, you better have heard it. If not, you better press play on YouTube right now. And I'm not playing around. It's bullcrap that he gets away with this. And this is going to continue to go on until they address it. And he don't even get like a week of leave. Nothing. They're going to just let him rock and sweep that under the rug. Whatever, Stephen A. That's hilarious. You're a joke.
So you didn't like his apology?
You know what that apology sounds like? That apology sounds like Drew Brees after the statement he made when Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and all of them came at him mm-hmm. like, yo, do you know what you're talking about? Like, do you really want to mm-hmm. criticize black culture? And then he came up with a statement because, one, his mother is a lawyer, and two, his father is a doctor. He had to hurry up and come up with something quick before the whole – because he's from Texas, so you know Texas would have probably had the dodge of bullets, and Louisiana and all the people that deal with racist issues down there in Louisiana, those two states are right next to each other. So you know that that's down there. It sounds the same type of mm-hmm. situation where they have to hurry up and get something out in the next 9 minutes to 9 hours before that, you know, that starts to bubble. You know what I'm saying? That's the same thing I feel Stephen A. Smith did. Same thing. I don't feel no sincerity in that at all. Just like I said earlier, he's been doing journalism since early 90s in Philadelphia. You can't talk that to me. He know what to say. He know what to say. Just like I'm saying, I'm going to say it to you again. He know what to say. He know what to say. Period.
Okay. I was fine with the apology because I didn't hear a but. I thought he manned up to what his mistake was. He owned up to it. I talked to the program Alan, you know, who is of Asian American in descent, and you know, it's kind of like on the other foot because it's usually people reaching out to me at my job, you know, about social justice issues or systemic racism. So it was kind of on the other foot to reach out. Well, I didn't reach out to him, he reached out to me and then we talked about it. About, you know, Asian hate. And I, you know, at my day job, you know, we had Asian appreciation kind of month and talking about Asian hate and all that kind of stuff. And I actually, you know, work very closely with a couple Asian Americans. And, you know, so it's kind of, you know, she was on the other foot to kind of get that perspective, like not having to be the one to explain, listening to someone explain themselves. So I definitely understand where the hurt and stuff came from, but I was fine with his apology. First, he's not African American, like he's not from African descent. He's a Caribbean American. Both his parents are from the Caribbean, from the Virgin Islands. So people that came out and tried to say that he was, you know, he should know better because he's from Africa. No, he's not. But
Is he from the islands? Or no, the right
no,
to say that?
No. I want to fact check it. I want to correct it because I saw people coming out and say, "Oh, you're African. You should know about." No, he's not. He's African. Maybe he's not even African American. He's Caribbean American. But it doesn't give him the right to butcher somebody's name and not really give a damn about it. That's a whole different issue, right? So. But people are trying to double down on it and just not really knowledgeable and just, you know, just it's really the hate for Stephen A. that people are kind of really they came after him. You know, he's not going to get fired from ESPN because he got in front of it. He owned up to it and he apologized. I don't know what else you need him to do. He's not going to get fired. Can I finish?
Let me check. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I finish? Okay. Thank you. So, I mean, from my perspective, he's not going to get fired. I mean, just as a business, he is ESPN right now. I tell people and people don't understand, they just don't listen to me. Like they're not going to fire you if you're bad for business, they're going to fire you. If they can still make money with you, you'll still have a job. They're going to still make money with Stephen A. He's not going to be out of the job. Paul Pierce is a different animal. The ESPN will live on without Paul Pierce. you're expendable. That's it. Okay? That's how it works. It's about the dollar. These companies are run by these white Americans that don't give a damn about us, our color, social justice issues. It's only about where the pendulum is, where the pendulum swings. And if, you know, the hot topic of the day is systemic racism and Asian hate, and if you're against that, then you're wrong, and it's going to start affecting your bottom line, that's when you start losing your job. And I hate people that I stand up for systemic racism. I try to at my job. I'm trying to stand up for Asian hate. I'm a black man, obviously, but I also know how the world works, and I understand where these companies, like, it's like if you go to your company and you say, yeah, you know what, somebody was harassing me, sexually harassing me or something like that. They're not interested. Their best interest isn't you. Their best interest is to protect the company. That's how these companies work. They don't give a damn about us. They never have. They only care when it affects their bottom line. I know what he did was wrong. The comeuppance is going to come at some point. The bill always comes due. Stephen A. is going to have to pay for it at some point in his life. We all know that. But I also know how these corporate companies work. You know what I mean? This is the machine that capitalism made. That's all. That's where I always going to see it. That's how I always see it. Serious. Go ahead, bro.
So what I was going to say, didn't want to interrupt you there, but Stephen A. Smith's mm-hmm. mom and pops is from the Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
So,
the Caribbean.
The Caribbean, yeah. And obviously Stephen A. Smith was born in, let's say, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's born in the Bronx, mm-hmm. so that, to your point, I mean, and honestly, man, I mean, I get it, you know, because it helps their bottom line and ESPN's bottom line. And my issue, you know, is not necessarily with ESPN, even though I mm-hmm. do think some retribution needs to take place. I don't think he needs to, you know, be on the show. You know, Tony Kornheiser, you know, had to sit down 2 weeks for something, and, you know, they're quick at suspending people and taking things away from them, but the fact that this dude got on today and you know, was doing his thing or whatever the case may be, missing with that. And, you know, I understand that that's how capitalism works and that's how, you know, money works. You know, you're only as good to a company as the money that you bring in. And
mm-hmm.
like I said, you know, in my own little spiel, you know, in terms of the fact that we're sitting here at 9:37, you know, on our little podcast talking about that, talking about this man and talking about what he did, it's moving the needle. How many blogs were
right.
written today about this? And, you know, how many clicks were on ESPN about this? How many times did people watch and watch again his apology on, you know, social media, on YouTube or whatever the case may be? How many times in the barbershop today, Thomas, did the situation come up? You know what I'm saying? So it's getting buzz. You know what I'm saying? So at the end
mm-hmm.
of the day, you know, it is what it is. But for Stephen A. Smith, my issue with this situation and other situations is, you know what I'm saying, you can't stand on the table and spin backwards, you know, for social equality and justice and, you know, Black Lives Matter, again, which I support, which I'm all for. Don't get it twisted. But you cannot say, you know, you support one thing and then come back and do something completely different. And that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So my issue is with that guy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Go ahead, TB, you guys.
I'm going
to
say it like this. I want
to
say it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because Barry hit on something like, you know, other, if they can make money with you, they ain't going to let you go. Well, how about Keith Olbermann? How about
mm-hmm.
Colin Cowherd? These guys said something and ESPN got rid of them. And they're of Caucasian descent. They got rid of
mm-hmm.
them for what they said. They got rid of them. So if Stephen A. Smith or people like Mike Wilbon, they could say some outlandish stuff and they still keep them there, I'm not buying that. Mike Wilbon said, and I'm biased, and I don't give a F how I feel about the situation, I am a diehard Hurricane fan, diehard. When Sean Taylor died, Mike Wilbon said he couldn't care less, like he deserved to die. Like, wait, what? And y'all kept him? He said that? because of the lifestyle that he used to live? Like, he doesn't change? Like, nobody has no change in their rearview mirror? So you got Stephen A. Smith biting off of the same stuff, and just to keep the quote-unquote, air-quote, culture around the ESPN, that these are the two guys that you carry? Stuart Scott never spoke like this. Never. Never. So I'm not going to sit here and watch you do that, oh, because he's of Caribbean descent, that he gets away from it. If we go back millions of years, Africa broke apart, and those islands were formed. Those islands were formed. So I'm not going to just say, oh, he's Caribbean descent. And no matter how I look at it, who's coming to him to be like, yo, of Asian descent, to talk to him? Or has Allen ever come to you and be like, Barry, I feel a certain way about Black Lives Matter or something like that? When do you speak up about that side of the form? How long have we gone through it? For 400-plus years, let alone if somebody from Nigeria that don't even know Stephen A. Smith probably. They probably know about him of a commercial break or something. Got nothing to do with it. Shotani's hoping that he could see himself on TV so he could talk about it. Like, are you serious? Like, no, he don't get away with that. I could care less on how people feel about him. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed. That's bullcrap. That's bullcrap. I get it. He put out an apology. Well scripted. People, there's intelligent trolls in the world. I hope you know that. Serious. You see me deal with these people in the barbershop. Am I lying, serious? Am I lying?
You telling the truth. You speaking the
okay,
truth, my
so
guy. You speaking
if you're
truth.
Not wise. If you're not wise to see people to pull the wool over your freaking eyes, you better wake up and drink some doggone coffee, because he's doing the same crap that corporate America do to a lot of us, even when we're potentially better than a lot of people that are equipped for the job that we could go get. But they'll be like, nah, you under-talented or you're overqualified. They got something to tell you. They got something to tell you. You better wake up right now, bro. I'm dead serious. It's not good to watch you play the fifth, bro. It's not cool. It's not cool. And he did it twice.
I'm playing. I'm, wait,
Asian,
I'm playing
whether
the fence.
It was Asian or of
wait,
Nigerian
wait,
descent,
wait,
that's
wait.
Ridiculous.
Wait a minute. I'm playing the fence because I'm saying that he's not Nigerian American? Or I'm playing the fence because I'm
not
bashing him like you want to bash
him? I'm talking about
because I'm not bashing him like you want to bash him?
That you're excusing
the
situation.
No, see, you're not even listening to me right now, because I didn't excuse the situation. I didn't say what he said was wrong. I didn't say that, you know, he should
no
be of reproach. I said he apologized. I didn't say he wasn't contrite in his apology, okay? You didn't accept his apology. I did. That doesn't make me wrong, okay? That doesn't make me not as black as anybody else in the room, okay? That's your problem, okay? Your problem with Stephen A. is different than the fact that what you're really angry about is ESPN, not Stephen A. Stephen A. isn't going to fire himself. ESPN should be the one that's accountable, either suspend him or fire him, right? Not Stephen A. So it's either you got a personal problem with Stephen A. or you have a problem with ESPN keeping him. Which one is it?
It's 360, to be honest. It's 360. It's more than just one or the other. Listen. He made more than one mistake on that network. He's cursed. He's
and then the
said
people that
different
you,
words
that
up there.
You rattled
hold on.
Off that,
right,
that
I'm trying to respond
mistake.
To you. I'm trying to respond
okay.
to you. I'm trying to respond to you. Right. I'm trying to respond to you. So you got people that made one mistake, and they're done. They're done. Look at Colin Cowherd making a living on Fox. I don't even like Fox Sports, but I know Colin Cowherd may say some of the idiotic stuff that I'm going to go at him about just because it's just his personality, because he says some stuff that you know he's just getting under your skin. You know what I'm saying? But Colin Cowherd made a mistake. They didn't waste no time to get rid of Colin Cowherd. No mistake. Paul Pierce, one mistake in his life. Oh, he's on the social media network. Done. Like, he can't go count money all day long for the money he made in Boston and Washington and Brooklyn and L.A. Like, he got money. Like what? So in the same situation that they did with Jalen Rose, and Jalen Rose called Skip Bayless out, they was done with Skip. I mean, they was done with Jalen. Jalen had to go with ABC and do his thing with ABC. They didn't want him at ESPN. Everybody else is making one mistake. They are helping him sweep that stuff under the rug. So it's both, to be honest. But that's what I'm saying, 360. It is ESPN and Stephen A. Smith, and he's done this on more than one. This ain't the only time Stephen A. Smith slipped up. If you think this is the only time Stephen A. Smith said something, wow, you're bugging. You're bugging.
I never said that. But I honestly, the problem is with ESPN. It's not what Stephen A. Because you're talking about people. You're ratted off, what, Keith Olbermann and – They fired him lickety-split, and ESPN is doing just fine. Money. That's all it was, money. It had nothing to do with anybody but if they can't make money with you. I don't understand how you don't see the capitalism bullshit in this society. It has nothing to do with the social issue. has nothing to do with what he said. It has everything to do with the dollar. That's all it is. That's all these companies give a damn about. They can make money with Stephen A. That's why he's still there. That's ESPN. That's we should have a problem with ESPN. We should be boycotting them, not beating down Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is wrong. What he did was wrong. Okay, that's fine, and that's where we should be. That's fine. Stephen A. Smith was wrong with what he said, but the fact that you're trying to get him fired and he's not getting fired is a problem with ESPN. That's where I see it. I see it from a different angle. That's it. But don't sit here and try to say I'm giving him a pass and that I'm straddling the fence. No, I'm not. I'm seeing the world for what it is. It's capitalist bullshit. That's what it is. Capitalism.
What would he essentially have to do for you to be like, that's it?
What would he have to do? What does it matter?
To be brutally honest, I don't like hearing people get fired. I don't want nobody to lose their job. But for him to do some crazy stuff like this, this is a two-time occasion in a day, and then there's more stuff behind him that they're letting stuff go by. But I don't even know how to say it because I know this is like a gaslighting situation. When I say you're defending the situation, I don't know how you're doing it. So I want to leave that alone because I think we're going to just keep defending ourselves for the situation. It's like bogus that he's getting away with something. You know, if me and you said it, they'll cancel us. They'll cancel us. And I feel like we could bring more to the table than him because all he is basketball-driven and want to talk about the money that these dudes have got in their pockets. He's not analytical basketball-wise unless he got that damn laptop in front of him. And let's be brutally honest. When he talks about millions of dollars, that's all he wants to talk about is money. That's all he wants to talk about is money. Yo, you bring something that you're analytically sound on, and then I respect it. That's why I'm at him, because he's up there and literally getting by with that. Literally. Literally.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with what he said?
Oh, it's a ton. There's a laundry list behind it. I've been going at Stephen A. Smith for a while, and you know it. Don't sit here and act like I made this up. Don't act like I made this
no,
up.
No, I'm not saying you made it up. This is like icing on the cake. This is literally like icing on the cake. You have a problem with Stephen A. Smith.
I said 360. Are you listening? Or you're not even listening? Hold on. You told me somebody not listening to nobody. I just said both of them. Serious, am I lying, serious?
No, you're speaking the truth, man.
But what are you talking about? You talking about nobody listening to you? You just heard me say that 2 minutes ago. I just said that 2 minutes ago. You talking about somebody not listening to you, bro? That's what I'm saying. We're chasing our tail because you. I don't even know what to say that you're doing right now. Because you take a personal thing because I said that. That's real bad, bro. That's real bad.
No, you're trying to take. You're trying to bring it personal on me because I'm not taking. I'm not taking your opinion. I'm not seeing it with your opinion. I'm not trying to cancel him. I'm trying to get him fired. I'm trying to teach the people that they're not going to fire him because of the dollar, and you think I'm defending him. That's my problem. You think I'm defending him. Did I ever say he was absolutely right what he said? No. I'm telling you he's not going to get fired. That's a problem. But we're chasing our tail. But that's why I didn't want to talk about it, because I knew this was going to happen. But you know what? That's why we got to talk about it, because that's why it needs to happen. Because that's what this forum's about. So if we're done chasing our tail, I can move on to baseball. Anybody else? Anybody else got anything? Silence is deafening. Okay. So, I mean, listen, there was the All-Star break. They, I guess, put on the show. The uniforms were hideous. They looked like they were drawn by two-year-olds. The game was somewhat entertaining. Vlad Jr. hit a bomb in Colorado for the All-Star game. And the AL won the game 5-2. After the home run derby where, you know, balls were flying out of the Mile High area, the air in Colorado. All in all, two solid days of baseball showcasing themselves. I wish they could do a little bit better out there. I mean, I guess the All-Star game was okay, but all anybody wants to talk about was the hideous uniform. So, TP, I'll go to you. What did you think about the All-Star game?
Ohtani, the way he started the game out with a 1-2-3 inning is awesome. They're literally calling him the new day and age of Babe Ruth, so I'm respecting him. And I literally said that he may be after Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds' record for the runs that they made, and hopefully they check him now. I want them to check him legally with all drug tests that they can, because I don't want to hear it if he does break the record. This guy is a phenomenal baseball player. Do not take that away from him. Shout out to the American League. I love the American League because my Twins are there, of course. But the one thing about the All-Star game that bothers me, I don't like that it's in the middle of the week. The home run derby should be a spectacle that everybody should be able to get to, like a Friday or Saturday night. But ultimately, this is their break. This is the way that they got to try to figure it out. And the one thing about the All-Star game, and I guess I'm trying to remain heightened because I'm turned up right now, isn't even the All-Star game. It's the ammunition and the guns that they found right outside of Coors Field that they were going to plan a mass shooting outside of that All-Star game. Just think about the heightened temperature of America. Of America. These people had to watch their kids go out there and enjoy the game, the American pastime, and they got people trying to set up a shooting outside of that place. That's something that had me at the edge of my seat. Like, please don't let these people still be at large and trying to handle people out there. I'm glad that everything has been safe, and whoever, the police or FBI, whoever was on top of it, God bless y'all, to, like, take care of that situation. But it's sad that this is that they were going to go to an event of this magnitude to have something happen like that. Of course, Vlad Jr. hit a 468-yard foot bomb. That was incredible to watch that happen. The American League did their thing as best as they could, whether it was like small balling them or playing the long ball. I mean, they did enough to beat the National League and hold them to two runs in that game. And the pitching staff for the American League, it, the best that they could script it together, they did a great job to slow the National League down. And the American League has been running the streak for quite some time, so National League has to catch up one way or another. Probably next year, since I'm talking to them, they'll probably win a game. But American League rules still.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about that. I think it was a housekeeper that tipped off the cops, and they found, I think it was three men, two and one woman, and one female, and a bunch of ammunition. It was crazy. They were likening it to the mass shooting in Las Vegas, where it happened a couple years ago. I think over 50 people lost their lives. And, you know, they came back and said that, you know, that the All-Star game wasn't the target. I think that was BS. I mean, obviously, I don't believe in coincidence. So I'm glad that, you know, something, you know, was somebody tipped them off and nothing happened, because that would have been horrific. But getting to the game, I mean, you know, listen, Ohtani is box office right now. Despite the fact that the Angels can't build a winner, the team is horrendous to watch. I mean, he is every fifth day on the mound and then in the lineup at bat every day. And, you know, we didn't think a year or two ago he could do it or sustain it. He had a couple injuries, but now he's doing it at a very high level, and it's fun to watch. Vlad Jr. and Tatis Jr., I they're the future of the league. And, you know, I think it's sad because Mike Trout is hurt, and, you know, he's, when he's healthy, the best player in the league. But I feel like, you know, it's kind of going to start passing him by. These young kids are coming. They're exciting. I mean, you know, Vlad Jr. had like a bullet that almost took Scherzer's head off. And then it hits a bomb, like almost 500 feet in the game. So, you know, and Tatis is just, you know, he's just fun to watch, and he's super exciting. He's super talented in San Diego. I don't know if the game could have came off any better. I think I wish it had a little bit more excitement, a little more juice to it. To TP's point, I think the timing is always off. It's traditional, when they do it, you know, home run derby on Monday, also game on Tuesday, and then you get a break, and then games start back up on Thursday, Friday. But you know, they did a great job. Serious, I mean, what was your take on the All Star? I guess it's not a weekend. The 2 day All Star festivities with the home run derby and the game.
You know, man, I'll say this. Out of all of the quote-unquote All-Star games, festivities, and events, and, you know, across the landmark of sports, MLB does it better than anybody, in my opinion. You know, you have an actual real baseball game between, you know, great players in our league. You got the home run derby that is always a spectacle. Shout out to, you know, Alonzo for going back to back and doing his thing. You know, some like he was in the moment, man. Like he made a point that, you know, this is his event. You know, the crazy thing about it is he's made more money winning home run derbies than he actually has on his, you know, New York Mets contract. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. You know, obviously the AL did their thing. You know, but one of the things that I do like about the All-Star game, especially at the Major League Baseball level, is that you get to see the stars of today out there on display. You know, the older guys are kind of phased out. Obviously, you still got some old veterans there, but, you know, that they get to bring, you know, the players get to bring their kids and their families, and they're on the field getting pictures with, you know, Tatis. I was watching Freddie Freeman's Instagram, and, you know, his son wanted to get a picture with Tatis, so he was able to do that. And, you know, I live in the Metro D.C. area, so Max Scherzer is the ace, you know, here, and he told his young teammates who, you know, got to go to the All-Star game. I'm talking about Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner, obviously, and Juan Soto, who plays ball out here, that, you know, don't seek autographs, you know, get pictures. You know, just that words of wisdom, you know what I'm saying? Pictures last a lifetime, and, you know, it's always good. The weathers tend to be always nice, so I prefer it. So salute to them, you know. We have a mad dash to the Fall Classic now, and, you know, the casual fans, that's kind of when they get involved. So shout out to MLB. Shout out to the housekeeper and those involved in finding those weapons. I agree with you, Barry. I don't think that this was a coincidence. You know, I don't think that, you know, weapons are going to be found at that location during that time just because. I'm not buying that. So with that being said, man, we got a mad dash to the finish. Curious to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the only two things that kind of bother me about the 2 day All-Star was the uniforms, hideous. I mean, just put their regular uniforms on and, you know, with their colors. I mean, come on. I mean, a lot of even the players kind of said the same thing or get their input. I think it would, if you really want to sell the league, I think the league has a problem selling itself. And, you know, we talk about it on the Baseball Buffet. I don't know if me and TP have talked about it on this show. I don't think we get to talk a lot of baseball with the marketing of baseball and how it's always going to be the third sport, maybe even the fourth, if they don't get their act together behind either soccer or hockey. But, you know,
I have a theory.
You know, I want to hear it in a second, serious, but like, make the uniforms interactive. You know, have a couple designs. Let the fans vote on it. Let the players vote on it. Get the fans involved. That's marketing, okay? I mean, I don't know who runs the marketing at MLB, but it's just like, you know, they're not taking advantage. They're not selling the players. NBA at the All-Star game, a lot of times what these players are doing are releasing their shoe. You can't do that in baseball. But they have a gimmick that's at the All-Star game that makes you want to watch. Other than the game, there's nothing to watch at the All-Star game. So at least do that with the uniforms. I mean, geez. I mean, I don't know. And then the home run derby. I mean, they change the rules every year. It just gets annoying. Like, it, you know, it's head-to-head, and it's a league, and then, like, you know, it's, you know, with the time. And it's like, you know, and it's still the home run derby. You'd like to see the shots go out. But then it's like, I'm trying to watch it, and I'm like, you know, I'm like half awake because I'm like exhausted. But I'm watching the derby, and it's like you see them hit, and then like they go, the next pitch goes before the ball is even landing yet. You know, so I can't even track the ball. It's like, oh my God. But, you know, whatever. Just come up with a format that's easily palatable for to see on TV. That's the only thing I have, the marketing and the home run derby. Serious, go ahead. I want to hear your opinion, and I would definitely want to talk USA basketball.
So here's my thing with the marketing, and I think this has a lot to do with the players and the way MLB is constructed, you know, as opposed to basketball and football. You know, MLB players do not market themselves like, you know, the other entities do, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's a shoe, whether it's a, you know, an endorsement deal, whether it's a social media thing, you know, hell, if I wanted to, I can find out what LeBron James had for breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so, but you know, the way that the MLB, you know, players themselves, you don't see a lot of MLB players on social media. You don't see a lot of MLB players at the mixer and at the events like you do basketball and football. So that's to the players, in my opinion, you know, it's their responsibility to kind of market themselves. That's the first. The second thing, mm-hmm. I agree with you about, you know, getting some fan input. I love, especially with the All-Star game, where they put the microphone on the players and they kind of talk to the mm-hmm. players, you know, in between plays. And I like that aspect of things. I myself, this is just me, I didn't mind the All-Star game uniforms. It's a uniform. It is what it is. You know, they did kind of do something, you know, funky with the help with the hat team logo on it or whatever. And I like the way they had, you know, Wash or New York and the logo. I kind of liked it. It was kind of unique.
But you know what? It's like when you don't know a lot of the faces, it's easy to pull out the face with the uniform. So I think from that perspective, it kind of missed the mark. But with the marketing, I agree with you. It's hard because, and I said this before, like basketball, you can have a shoe, right? You can't wear a cleat all everywhere. So what, you know, you can have a shoe. It's got to be a workout shoe, a performance shoe, right? But where would you wear that? You know, it doesn't – you know, the only player I can remember in recent history that marketed himself well was Derek Jeter with his, you know, his turn two and, you know, number two and everything. He kind of made it fashionable, you know, and it's harder for baseball players to do that. There's just a disconnect with, you know, yeah, Griffey too. And you know,
Griffey
it's,
had shoes.
It's right. But it's, you pick up a basketball, you can start playing, right? You got to spend money to play baseball. You know what I mean? You got to buy the bat. You got to buy the glove. You got to buy the cleats. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as easy, you know what I mean, to have a pickup game of baseball anymore than it is to have a pickup game of basketball. I grew up playing baseball. I had to borrow a kid's bat. I had a glove. My dad bought me a glove. I had to borrow a bat. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't play in cleats. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's just different. And you know, I think that it's that money class that kind of separates it a little bit. It's easier to play. It's easier to pick up basketball than it is baseball. But, you know, I mean, TP, do you have an opinion on the marketing in baseball, where it's lacking, where they can improve?
No, I think they're doing the best that they can, because I actually bought the Minnesota Twins All-Star cap because Nelson Cruz was there. So I got the hat, and it's fire. So I can't be too mad at that. I think baseball is hurt in the marketing because of the black eye that the sport has for all of the years that from, I want to say, from 87 up with the steroid era and everybody trying to get into the hall. All of the heroes of this sport are not in the Hall of Fame. So just think about how many people
for
look at the sport
reason.
Like, well, I'd rather not. I'd rather not. I'd rather not. I'd rather not. So it's like that's what's hurting them. Until the commissioner and the people alike start to try and, like, right there wrong and stop trying to be pigheaded, or I'm not going to move until Pete Rose dies, or we're going to come up with a rule like 20 years from now when Barry Bonds is like 85 to put Barry Bonds in it. Like, come on. So Barry Bonds and you know, Andy Pettit and these guys don't belong in the Hall of Fame. Like, come on. Like, come on. Enough is enough. Like, you proved your point. Proved your point. So that's what's hurting baseball. Baseball hurt themselves and the people that's in the back office and then, you know, the higher ups, not just the sport itself and the players that are playing the game or the jerseys that they're wearing. It's the MLB and with them having to calm their storm and, you know, kind of, you know, be apologetic to the people that they've held off for so long. Pete Rose is hanging on to dear life. Not saying like he's at the deathbed or whatever, but and I've met him in Vegas. And it's like, yo, it's, who has 4,000 hits in the Major League Baseball? Who? Who? Like, come on. And you're going to hold him out? Like, people, they'd rather not. Charlie Hustle should be a name that you remember. They're trying to get you to forget him. They're trying to get you to forget him. So, listen, baseball's done enough to get people to walk away from the sport. They may get the support because I think they may have more teams across the country, but they get probably the least support that they should have. Like, the big market teams get their cover. The Mets, the Yankees, San Francisco, the Dodgers, the Cubs, like I'm trying to think of like all of the big markets that may get the coverage. Other than that, people, have you ever seen the Rays game? Even when they're doing good, like there's like 25 people there, and they family.
I don't think a Rays fan has seen a Rays game. To be honest.
But that's what I'm saying. Like they don't even be there. They don't even be there. Like come on. Like stop. And this is a major league team. Only time they go there is if they play the Yankees or they play Boston, and Boston is firing. Like the major league did it to themselves.
Two teams that need to move are Oakland and Tampa Bay. I'm sorry. Tampa Bay is a really good team. They've done a lot with a very little, but their fan base does not support them. Move them to another town. Please get them out of there. And Oakland, if you can't buy them a stadium, then get them out of there. They want to go to Vegas. Let them go to Vegas. I know TP would love that. You got the Raiders there. Why not get the Oakland Athletics there? You know what I mean? Like, because they don't want to fork over the money to get a brand new stadium. So, thank you, TP, because I agree with you. I totally think, and it's not a perspective I actually thought about until you just said it, but it's always something I've always said. Like, I was in the mindset of not having these guys go into the Hall of Fame because of the story. But then, you know, my third eye opened. I saw more clearly, and I said, you know what? It's corporations. It's the bullshit that they looked the other way when these guys were doing it. Why? Because they were making money hand over fist after that lockout the strike in 94. So when people came back, people were hitting home runs, money boom, business boom. Oh, I looked the other way. And my team, the Yankees, had people – doing steroids left and right. There was other teams, other players doing it. They looked the other way. Now when Congress got involved to get – congressmen wanted to get votes to stay in office, senators and all that crap, and they put them on Capitol Hill, now it's like, oh, well, we can't let them in the Hall of Fame now. It's all ridiculous. Everybody, the writers, the league, everybody made money off of the steroid era, and now these guys are getting punished. And they didn't break a rule. I mean, like, there was nothing against, it, to my knowledge, steroids. It's like you can't distribute it. A team can't distribute it. But, I don't want to get into the details, but it's like everybody had their hand out for this thing, for this steroid era. And guys like Ken Griffey, who didn't take it, you know, even he had his numbers put under a cloud. For why? Because everybody else was doing it. And now the league is trying to be high and mighty and not let these guys in. What do they want, an apology from Pete Rose? Like, who gives a damn? Like, you're not apologizing for Ty Cobb for being a freaking racist.
Like, why does Pete Rose have to apologize for not gambling on his team? He has an addiction. You should be helping him, not keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. What are you saying?
No, I'm saying that he gambled on the Reds to win. He gambled on them to win. So what are you talking about? That's so crazy.
Yeah, that's the point. But if we want to be real about it, gambling is addiction, right? They should be helping him. No, what do you want to do? You want to hurt him. You want to keep him out of the game. So for what? You know what I mean? Like, you didn't do anything while he was doing it. Like, listen, the league made money off of it. I can't even get into this conversation because it pisses me off so much. It just the hit.
Well,
no,
we need that
of
energy. You said you need energy. Well, we need that energy.
It's the hypocrisy of the league, TP. It's that. You know what? You know, like, he without sin cast the first stone. Like, give me a break. Mm-hmm. Like, you made money off of these guys. You did. You knew what was happening in '94. You couldn't get people to come back. What did you saw them hitting home runs. You saw Sosa and McGuire hitting, going back and forth, 60-plus home runs, 70 home runs in the season. Then Bonds hit 73. You didn't stop them then. You knew something was wrong. Everybody knew it. But the writers didn't write about it because they were writing the articles that people were buying the newspapers for, getting the ratings on TV. Everybody was eating. Everybody had their stomachs fat. And now it's a problem. Let these guys in the Hall of Fame. I disagree with you, TP. I don't think Andy Pettitte's a Hall of Famer. I think he's borderline, but I don't really think he's a Hall of Famer. But if you're telling me
at least he's toeing the line. At least he's toeing the line.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Who else? Roger Clemens is out. So Roger Clemens isn't in the Hall of Fame?
If Roger Clemens isn't a Hall of Famer, I don't know what pitcher that is. If Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he left, he was a borderline Hall of Famer in Pittsburgh. He won a couple MVPs before he started, quote-unquote, using performance enhancers. Like, he had, two MVPs in San Francisco? The guy was a Hall of Famer before, he was a Hall of Famer before 96, 7?
What
did
he lose, like 94? I think he went to San Francisco in like 94.
Yeah, it's like, Barry Bonds is, listen, Barry Bonds is one of the greatest baseball players ever, and he's completely disrespected. It's ridiculous. I've had enough of it. Okay, Mark McGuire took steroids. Sammy Sosa took steroids. So what? Like, it's not a popularity contest. You got racists in there. You got come on, man. Ty Cobb was the most racist dude you ever seen. Nobody's kicking him out. Nobody kept him out. Nobody cared. Nobody cared back then, right? If we started dissecting these guys' personal lives that people are in the Hall of Fame, we'll be here all day keeping people out. Like, just let them in the Hall of Fame. Like, your Hall of Fame is tainted as it is. Give me a break. It's ridiculous.
I ain't mad at you. I'm the one that brought that to the forefront. I ain't mad at you. That's what I said. We need your energy. You said you was fighting with energy, Sports City. I am the super. Hold on. Sports City, you're welcome. Everybody around Sports City, you're welcome. He told you that he was fighting for energy. I told you that I got him. I'm going to take off this blazer, losing up the tie, and pick him up. Look at what I did. Now he's out of his seat, probably pacing and biting nails. This is what's going on. Me. Me.
I am pacing. I gotta get the blood going. Oh, my God.
We're good. Always prevails. You see, he's smiling and everything. Me. You're welcome. You're all welcome. So this is what you get. Don't worry. I get him started. Don't worry. I'll start that engine up any day of the week. I'll do it while he's at church. You think I'm playing?
but
that's the problem with it. That's what Major League got. They got to figure this out. And I'm going to be brutally honest. Get it figured out in 2 to 4 years. Like, surprise the world and be like, yo, we allowing Pete Rose. And so start with Pete. Start with Charlie Hustle and get him into the Hall and then go from there. Because he'll probably cry. Mm-hmm. He'll probably cry himself to death. Like, if that's what you want, because he cried talking like that in Vegas. Like, he cried. Like, you could see the pain in this man's face, man. Like,
hey,
nah.
Thomas,
get, get,
No disrespect. Get him in there. No disrespect. No disrespect. I don't need to wait to. I don't want it to wait. You know, 4 years. That should even be happening now.
No, I know, but
like,
I know.
Right now.
I'm trying to be like Joseph Fabo, because if they hear us and be like, we should wait 1 to 3. Like, I get it. That's why I'm like 2 to 4, because they're gonna be pigheaded in the office. Like, should we do it? Should we not? Should we do it? Like, yeah. So just give y'all some time to get y'all stuff together. And then that be that. That's the only way I'm looking at it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, is there anybody out there with any kind of influence that really supports him? Like, has Charlie Hustle's back? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he needs a voice that would come out and say, hey, you know, it's long overdue. And, like, if there isn't a voice, why isn't there one? Are they being, you know, silenced or what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, I don't know. Maybe these kids don't know. Maybe they don't know about why Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, but, you know, I feel like.
The power of the public. I think the power of the public. People got to speak up more than just the people that were Phillies or Reds fans at that time. Like, everybody has to speak up. You see, like, they're trying to bring change everywhere. They're trying. So the more people speak up about it, the more that they'll try to reassess the situation. It's going to take everybody, man. I was always told,
there
my mom
moment,
always told
right?
me, in the Bible,
there
in
was
the
a
Bible
moment,
it
right,
says,
TP?
Huh?
I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead.
In the Bible, my mom always told me, the power's in numbers. Strength is in numbers. So if we do this together, everybody say something, it may work, man. And this is by word of mouth. This ain't nobody pushing no papers. This could be a granddaughter of one of the guys that's up there saying no. And be like, put him in there. Like, I've seen some. Everybody got to try and pull their weight. Everybody, it could get done, man.
And that's what I mean. Like, there was a moment, right, a couple years ago, they honored the, I think it was the Century team or something like that, and he was on that team, and, you know, I think it was in Atlanta, I can't remember where it was, and he got a standing ovation, and there was a glimmer, and there was talk about maybe he could get in, and if he apologized, blah, 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 and, you know, it kind of came and it kind of dissipated. But, you know, to your point, that's what needs to happen. They need to really people need to band together and make it happen. Because, you know, it drives me crazy that the fate of the Hall of Fame is decided by guys that never played the damn sport. Give me a break. Hall of Famers should vote on Hall of Famers, not fucking writers. I'm sorry for the language, but not writers. Who cares? It's like this writer has an agenda against somebody like, you know what? I think it was Derek Jeter didn't get unanimous votes. Why? Because of one guy that clearly had an agenda. You know, that's who you're leaving it up to. These guys that if he didn't give me an interview or if he kissed my butt, then I'll vote for him. But if he didn't, I'm not going to. Who gives a damn about these clowns? Like, seriously, you don't see me. I don't have a vote. You don't see me voting on it. I'm a voice. I got a voice on podcasts. Like, why do these guys get whatever? It's ridiculous. But, I want to keep it baseball real quick. TP, biggest story first half of the year. What do you got? I know I got some stories, some headlines coming around for baseball. But what's your biggest takeaway from the first half of the baseball season?
The monsters of the league. There's a couple. Ohtani being an American League monster, and one of my favorite players in the league is Tatis Jr. He's one of the most exciting players in baseball, and he's doing that skip before he gets to third base just to let people know he's getting there, and it's like stop him from doing that. And I don't want people to start beaming him and hurting him, but this guy's a talent at the plate. He's in the Trout conversation. Let me put it that way. Like, Trout's been here long enough, so Trout has the leg up, but he's in that conversation because he's playing the game the right way, you know. But outside of those two, the one thing that has really caught my eye is Trevor Bauer and how bad it's getting for him in L.A. with the Dodgers. And they've even extended his lease from the team. So this is bad, especially the way he left the Reds just a few years ago. And now he's in L.A. and more stuff is sparked up around him. I feel bad for him because he's been the one talking junk and been having his YouTube channel. And now he's back in the forefront of, like, the bad media around himself, not even the team. So that's one of the three stories that I could think of right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Trevor Bauer, either like him or hate him, and a lot of people don't really get along with him, man. But That's a story that's snowballing. I just saw that today that they extended his leave of absence from the team. I don't know. It's getting ugly there. Serious. I don't know if you've been following too much. But I know you had some. Yeah, give it to me, brother. What's your biggest takeaway from the first half of the MLB season?
You know, obviously, I'm a shy away from obviously Ohtani, Tatis. You know, those guys really need no winning endorsement from me. But for me, I'm gonna look at a team that is surprisingly playing good baseball, and that's the San Francisco Giants. You know, this is a team that, you know, has for the longest time been a bottom feeder, wasn't picked to do well. Buster Posey is kind of, you know, changing of the guard, so to speak. And to sit there and watch what the San Francisco Giants look like right now is, excuse me, it's insanity. You know what I'm saying? So salute to them. You know, I'm looking at some preseason, you know, situation. The average age on the Giants right now is almost 20-some-odd years old, 29 years old. So it's not young guys. It's old guys on the Giants that are playing good ball and have them in position to make a legitimate run. Obviously, negatively, the Yankees, man. Like, I'm not even going to start that. You know, what the actual F is going on with the Bronx Bombers right now? I'm not trying to trigger nobody, you know what I'm saying? Me and Barry can talk about that for hours on end. But the Yankees are right now on the verge of missing the playoffs. I'm going to say that again. The New York Yankees right now are on the verge of missing the playoffs. You know, so something needs to happen there. Obviously, they're linked to several different, you know, prospects and players, you know, as the trade deadline approaches. But, you know, it's been said, and Mr. Cashman has said it, you know, several times. This team sucks right now. They can't keep a lead. You know, with all that power and everything, sometimes offense is not able to be, you know, generated. So positively, the San Francisco Giants, and negatively, the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, the big takeaway is the new stars for me that are coming. Ohtani, Vlad Guerrero. I mean, I kind of talked about it last week. I mean, the season that he had last year, out of shape, really didn't perform well. To come back and have such a dominant year so far, is something to behold. Fernando Tatis is amazing. He's one of those guys you'd love to see play. And I listen, Acuna getting hurt kind of sucks, man. I voted for him to be. He was my pick for NL All-Star and MVP. He's fun to watch, and to see him get hurt, you know, it's a bummer. But, you know, those three guys, Ohtani, Tatis, and Vlad Jr. are here, and it's their time. DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball, and not even close. I haven't seen anybody that dominant in a long time.
Oh, goodness,
time.
Here we
I
go
mean,
with
we're
the
talk-
Mets fans. The Mets fans. Oh, boy,
I mean,
here they go.
Here we go. Triggered. You know, you got it's nothing to, with the it, you got to respect it. I mean, the guy is ridiculous. I mean, he effortlessly throws 100 miles an hour. He's amazing to watch. But obviously, Yankees stink. They stink. I don't know who's more disappointing. That should be our next question. Who's more disappointing, the Twins or the Yankees? I mean, the Twins, I mean, you shouldn't expect much from them. They're the Twins. But the Yankees, come on. You're right.
You
should be in the World Series.
You spend way more money on your roster. Believe me, that
exactly.
has to hurt more.
That's the
that
point.
Has to hurt more.
That's all
look,
his money.
Look.
It hurts.
You put us in a conversation where we lost people. Y'all got a $1 billion roster. and are
and
doing
we,
that,
we
bro.
We don't believe
bro,
you.
Stop.
You need more people. That's the problem.
That's
like,
why,
you got all
that's
this
why you
money.
In, that's why you
want to
toilet
money.
Bowl now, because you don't like what's going down in the boogie down right now.
Exactly. You know, and I'm actually going to see them Saturday, so they better not waste my – don't waste my motherfucking time. But, you know, because, listen, they play like little leaguers. I mean, getting thrown out at third base and home plate, running when you're not supposed to be running, and throwing it to the wrong base, always hitting into a double play. I mean, a right-handed team for a left-handed ballpark. You know, no pitching after, you know, Gerrit Cole in the starting rotation, dying to get Luis Severino back, and then probably have to make a trade for somebody. Aroldis Chapman, your services are no longer required. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, and then I'm seeing Yankee fans getting pissed off. Oh, what do we need Joey Gallo? Because he's left-handed. He can hit. You better get him. He's got 24 home runs this year. What are you talking about? Are you high? Are you on crack? Like, get him in here. I don't care. Get him in. He's better than watching Frazier strike out with vertigo. I mean, what in the world is going on in the Bronx? The Bronx is burning. It's on fire. They are a dumpster fire. The worst thing that can happen is going out of the All-Star break and having four games against the Red Sox, who they can't beat right now. I mean, they look like crap against the Mets. They got the last game. They went into Seattle, should have swept them, lost the last game, about to sweep the Astros. If they would have swept the Astros, I'd be feeling a lot better right now. But the way they lost that last game on Sunday just makes me sick to my stomach, because not only did you lose the lead because you can't bring Chapman into the game because you can't trust him, but you let that little piece of crap, Jose Altuve, do it to you. The guy with the ringleader. And that's the other thing, too. I got to say it. Listen, all the Astro players that got voted into the All-Star game and didn't show up, they're cowards. You know why you didn't want to show up. You didn't want to get booed because of the cheating scandal. Listen, Altuve, I hope your dad is doing great. I know he's in the hospital. Respect to you. I understand. But listen, if your dad wasn't in the hospital, you wouldn't have shown up. I mean, because you got guys that were hurt, that legit hurt, like DeGrom. You're talking about Brantley, who's been playing through the injury and then didn't want to show up because he wanted to rest and heal up. Give me a break, dude. You didn't want to show up because even the mascot got booed out of the freaking ballpark. The mascot got booed for cheating. That's why you didn't want to show up. You don't want to face the music. You didn't have to face the music last year with the fans in the stands. So this year you're facing the music. The Dodgers let you have it. You know, Aaron Judge with the jersey tug didn't let you have it. That's why you didn't want to show up. I don't want to hear none of this crap. Anything else you got to say, you're cowards. You lost me. You're done with me. That's my biggest takeaway.
There's a song, and I have three words for you. There's a song, and I have three words for you. Don't stop believing, okay?
I thought you were going to do the Puff Daddy, Don't Stop the Music, but no. I mean, you got to agree with me at least on that. Like, the Astros, they didn't want to show up. They didn't want to be there because they didn't want to get booed. They're embarrassed. They got off light. They didn't get punished for what they did. You know what I mean? Baseball tried to get a hard-on for them and punish them, but they didn't punish them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want to stop the cheating, but they didn't punish the persecute them. It's ridiculous.
Hey, I mean, you're activating the toilet bowl. So if you want to be in Queens, New York, then – I see what you're up to now, so it's okay. I understand.
I'm not in Queens. What are you talking about? I'm not in Queens or in the Bronx, man. What are you talking about?
No, you leaving already. Oh, DeGrom is DeGrom.
No, stop. I'm not leaving. I can't praise the best pitcher in baseball. You're still phony. This is what I'm talking about. Like, this is what we're talking. You always bring up the fact.
Shout out to X-Men with all of the Mets paraphernalia, all of the stuff that they have there, and they trying to blame it on X-Men.
I had a rough childhood, okay?
That's terrible.
I was a,
you know what I'm saying?
Listen,
that's,
okay.
It's all right.
Sports.
I'm learning on the fly. City. You know what I'm saying? I just got to be around. You got to piece the clues together. You know, it's okay.
Sports
so
City,
pretty soon
I want to let you know.
Orange and blue every day. It's all right. I got it.
I listen, Sports City. I want to admit this on our podcast. I know people listen to the show. I was abused as a child. Okay, I was abused. My dad brought me up as a Met fan. I was abused, and you know, I broke away from it. I got help, and I became a Yankee fan in 1990. I was 9 years old. And it took a lot of strength to break away from my dad and my grandfather, you know, but I did. I want to be an advocate for people to be who they want to be. And you don't have to take it. You don't have to live your life that way. It's not healthy. It's not right. If you see something, say something. If it's a problem, you can deal with it. You can be a better person. And I'm a better person now for standing up for myself and saying, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. I don't have to live like this. Okay? So I became a Yankee fan. And TP hates it. TP hates it. You know, because the Yankees.
I don't hate it. I just called this out. And listen, I just heard this now that he wasn't Mexican. So now that I know that
lies,
Mr. Jordan, I'm gonna talk to the Jordan Enterprises. Listen, like I told y'all, I'm going to talk to Jordan Enterprises. And now we got everything clear now. From everything I saw in the backyard, and listen, if y'all see his backyard, it's more littered Mets than it is Yankees. That's the crazy part of it.
Lies. Deception.
I'm lying.
Listen,
wait, lies.
I'm
going to take a picture of Sports City, and I'm posting it on the page. I'm telling you right now, he better clean up the backyard tomorrow.
You
better clean up tomorrow.
Ring. I will activate it. I will have the cops here. Do not come in my backyard.
See, now you want to get me arrested. See, this is horrible.
I'm bearing my soul. I'm telling people I was abused, and all you want to do is harp on the fact that I was abused. I'm trying to help people.
No. Serious. Listen, there is literally Mets paraphernalia floating all around this boy's backyard.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and got
oh
the nerve
God.
To talk about Yankees.
Yeah,
there ain't no pin
right
now.
Oh my God.
He makes it look like there's a Mets like bin, there's a Mets like grass cutter, water hose. I went to a Met game with former employees of mine and bought my son a toy because I knew he would want a toy when he was like 3 years old. If I'm a bad father for buying my son something at a Mets game.
No, you're not a bad father. Don't say that.
I'm a bad father. Because that's what you're trying to imply. Because that's all it is. It's a bat and a ball, like a toy bat and ball. So I'm a bad parent for buying my son something
no
from a baseball
Yankee
game.
Bat or ball back there. Seriously, he has at least an acre back there. And there's no Yankee nothing to be found back
That's a lie.
Nothing.
That's a lie.
Not a
so when I wake
not
up
a,
in the morning.
Not a pin that you put on your shirt.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a picture, I'm going to take a picture of his Yankee bat.
Of course, he's
going to
set
gonna
it up now. Wait, who's dumb?
I'm going to wake up and I'm going to post a video.
No,
I'm going to post a video
working.
Because
no,
I don't need
buying that.
I don't need to
We
plan
don't believe
anything.
You. You need,
need
more
plan.
People. Sports is
I don't need to plan anything.
The game. We pass the class cuz nobody
I don't need to plan anything. I don't
like we
I
do.
Don't need I could do it right now. I could do it right now. I just don't want
Yeah, right. You want to situate bats and stuff out there your way you want to.
Yeah, uh-huh. I can do it right now. We're on the show, and I
body
you know,
from
that's
soul.
What I'm going
to
do.
They have to
Here
put the mask
Here we
put
go.
The body in.
Here we
the
go.
Hole. Oh no, the no, message yep. gets you break
right
week. Soul, what your whole
I
was in on the first week.
I was sold in your first week.
Villain's
he ain't
going
doing
one
with the Mets. Ask Barry. The Mets got it with him. Yo, M E T running that backyard.
See,
wise man told me don't argue with dude because people from a distance can't tell who is who. So stop with that Yankee stuff, brother. I'm grown. Please leave it alone. Don't go rock that
the
mess. Do not bark up that tree because that tree will fall on you. I don't know why them advisors ain't forewarn you. Please, not the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not
here
for
we go.
He ain't slacked a minute. Yeah. All the Doug rapping the gimmicks, Alonzo ended. All the yapping be finished. The Yankees not deep. You made your bed, now sleep.
Okay, I'm in my backyard right now. So the villain's in his backyard. So here I am. I'm gonna send you a picture, and if you want to lie, if you want to lie and say it's not a bat,
I'm buying this right now, Barry. No, Barry, I've seen the footage.
Backyard.
Listen, you're not listen. No, no, no. You're not gonna send this up now. If you're gonna put Yankees bats outside right now.
I'm in my backyard. I just sent it. I've sent it. Check your text messages in the backyard. All right? So you can
They play pitch and catch with Mets gear, bro.
Hey, babe.
They play pitch and catch with Mets gear.
Ty thinks that Xavier doesn't have any stuff for his Yankee stuff. So that's a lie. So I'm in the backyard. My wife was on the ring. Check your messages.
He picked a bat up. Okay, he said, if I'm going to lie, right? He had to pull this bat out of the crib, and he has it in hand at the steps. Like, no. Now turn around and show where that Mets bat is in your lawn, and the Mets ball and stuff is out there.
It's in the same place. I'm not going back out there.
Yeah, exactly, because you're scared of the orange and blue. It's okay.
Here we go. No, it's okay. We got to finish up.
Look at the energy, Sports City. He was telling you, listen, Sports City, he started the show up saying, I don't have the energy. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I need you.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at him. He running in and outside, up and downstairs, grabbing the wood bat, and he grabbed the wood bat. So you know he's not keeping that wood bat outside. He had like a Mets
bat.
So this is, I'm not buying this. He could do all he want with these pictures. All he want. He walked outside to take the picture with the bat, and then come back in the house. Boy, go back inside.
Nope.
Absolutely.
I'm outside. I'm in the backyard. No. If I get hit. If somebody comes out of my woods, then I'm blaming you.
Don't blame me for nothing. I don't know nothing about that part of Connecticut. So see,
so I got to turn the flash on so you can see.
No, I can see everything clearly.
No, I can't
wrap
even turn
up,
the flash
wrap
on.
Up. It's okay. We don't need to worry about your Mets affiliation. It's okay.
We understand it now, man. Right, I understand. I get it.
Okay. All right, so I got the picture. I'll send it to you. Listen, USA Basketball, TP, go.
This is horrible how they're constructed. They can't let Jerry Colangelo set this team up no more. He can't pick talent anymore. That's not a team ready for the world. They're not ready for the world. Kevin Durant is their big man. And not only is he their big man, he's the go-to. Not only is he the go-to, he's the best shooter. Not only is he the best shooter, it's like everybody knows who he is already, so they're going to go to him at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the way that they did it from the talent that they have on that team is literally unquestionably, like, puzzling that he's the tallest on the floor. You got Kevin Love and Draymond Green who are not contributing at all. They finally won a game because Jason Tatum acts like he does not want to play with them. You could tell that it looks very funny while he's playing with them. So, I don't like it at all. I hope that they could get another piece that they could bring from just like America and hopefully they could do something, because this is not the team that I feel like. I feel like this is the year we lose something. Like, we're bronze or silver this year. We're not a gold medal team. We're not.
I think the world is a lot better now than they've been in the last few years. I hear the analogy of like one and done players versus like mid majors that have guys that played 3-4 years together. Kind of the same thing. These international teams. This is their World Series. This is their championship. So they play together for years. They prepare for this. We get it together for a couple of years, and then we have a new roster every other year. These guys have been here. They played together. And this is what they wanted, this is the big moment for them. So it's worth it for them. So, and listen, if this is not the best collection of USA players by a long shot, not to say, oh, we need LeBron. No, I don't think so. But if he was on this team, we wouldn't lose. You know what I'm saying? Steph Curry was on this team, wouldn't lose. If Kyrie was on this team, wouldn't lose. James Harden, the list goes on and on. So, While the players and even Bradley Beal now is in health safety protocols, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, you got good players in this team. But don't tell me, oh, we don't have all our players. Chris Middleton and Devin Booker and Drew Holiday are still in the finals. If those are the guys that you think are going to push you over the edge, and then we got a problem. This team is not constructed well. There's no big. I'm tired of watching Draymond Green dribble the ball up and down the court. Give me a break. This team is just not built right. They're not built properly at all. So, serious, give me your opinion on the USA team.
You know, honestly, man, like everybody's alluding to, this team is not properly constructed. I do believe that, you know, with, you know, some more time playing together, I mean, I went on a massive rant on my social media about it. You know, this team has literally another week to kind of gel and play together before they get over to Tokyo. With that being said, we're in trouble, in my honest opinion. We're in trouble. The reason why we're in trouble is because there is not a dog on this team. There is not a guy who, you know, other teams literally have to fear. Like, KD is KD, but at the end of the day, like, on these other teams, you had Kobe, you know, who, you know, when he flipped the switch, it was a wrap. And LeBron, when he flipped the switch, it was a wrap. Plus, both of these guys competed on the defensive side of the ball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, Dame Dollar can shoot the lights out when he's on. You know, yeah, Bradley Beal was second in the league in scoring, you know, on a subpar team, but, you know, it is what it is. This team's in trouble. You know, when you go up against the Spain of the world, you know, that has big men that can run the floor and play decent ball and play international basketball, you know, this team's in trouble. Now, if we run into Argentina with, you know, pesky jump shooters and, you know, 42-million-year-old Luis Scola still on the team, yeah, you get a win. Let me see what they do with Spain when it counts. Let me see what they do with these other countries, you know, that's played together for significant years when it counts. You got to have a dog in you. You got to have a commitment and a sellout for defense. And if the dog that you bring, you know, to the fight is Draymond Green, you lost. If the dog that you bring to the fight, you know, to play the Spaniards is Jason Tatum, who that's not really his game, that's not really his makeup, you're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? You keep talking about Devin Booker and, you know, Chris Middleton, you know, coming to save the day after they get down playing in the NBA Finals. You got another scorer in Devin Booker that's playing with a broken nose. Let's not forget, the brother's nose is still broke. You know, with that being said, man, USA is in trouble. You know, I'm hopefully optimistic that they can, you know, catch a lucky bounce, catch a lucky break, and still get on that podium and bring gold home. But I would not be shocked if they don't even medal. I said that I would not be shocked if this team does not stand on the podium and even medal because they're just that poorly constructed.
Yeah, I mean, I think they will medal, to be honest with you. I think they're in trouble, though. I totally agree with you guys. I mean, you know, in series, you bring up a great point. Like, Kobe was that dog in 08, right? Like, he didn't have to score. He said, you know what, I'm going to let these guys score. I'm going to be that defensive dog. I'm going to guard the best player. And then in the gold medal game, he did go off and had a great gold medal game from offensive standpoint. But for that whole Olympic run, he was a defensive presence. Where is that? You know what I mean? Like, you can't get 12 really good players, throw a ball out there and say, let's go win. We tried that in 04. We got bronze. Okay? Didn't work. Okay? I agree with you. Like, Tatum, Beal, Lillard, Durant, yeah, they should win, but that doesn't mean the team is built properly for these international players. You're talking about guys with the three-point line closer, the wider lane, you know, there's no traditional bigs, you know, really. There's stretch guys. The best centers in the league are all international players. Embiid, Jokic. I mean, they're not American
born.
Ready
for this? Listen, this is the worst part. Mm-hmm. Picture when we play Spain. KD gonna have to D either Marco Powell.
Point. Like, there's no big. The best bigs are international. Giannis. Like, there's no bigs.
They're gonna kill KD. They're gonna get him in foul trouble. If the only thing KD does is put his hands up straight. That's all he's gonna be able to do.
And I thought it was a great point somebody made. I don't know who it was, but it's like when Jordan and Bird and Magic were on the Dream Team, they played. They forced the international teams to play their style of basketball, which was back to the basket, bigs, wing guys, a little bit of pick and roll and everything. Now it's like the U.S. can't impose their will and force these guys to – their way of basketball, this, you know, pick and roll, spread off it. None. Mm-mm. You got to play international ball if you want to win here. And we don't have the team to do that. We don't have any stretch bigs. You're telling me that your big is Draymond Green, but he has to be a stretch guy. He has to guard, he has to rebound, but he also has to come down and shoot a three. You don't want that guy shooting the three. I'd rather have Giannis shooting a three to save my life right now than Draymond Green. Bam Adebayo, you can't get him on the court because he can't stretch the floor. Your guys are right. It's a poorly constructed team. Do I think they'll medal? Probably. If Lillard and Durant and Booker and company, if they shoot the lights out, it'll be hard to beat them. But, you know, if they're not shooting well and they're in close games, forget about it. It ain't happening. And guess what? Medal games are typically closer than, you know, the opening game. So, it's going to be a chore for them to get a win. You know, they're not built for this. They really aren't. Anything else anybody's got to add to USA, Team USA? I guess not.
I was about to say, they better hope like everybody play like Argentina. That's the only way we're going to medal. That's the only way.
Yeah.
If everybody play like Argentina, then we got a shot.
Mm-hmm. And Nigeria and Australia are good teams.
Australia.
Don't get it twisted. Australia is a good team. They got what? Patty Mills. They got
Patty Mills.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They got players. Yeah, Delazuela. They got the center. God, I can't remember his name now. Serious, help me out here. I can't remember his name. It was all on the tip of my tongue, and I just forgot it. You'll probably remember.
Dante Exum.
I just can't remember his name. But they got NBA players, and they've played together for years. They're a good team. Everybody's like, you know, I can't believe USA. Well, no. Believe it. Australia and Nigeria. And Nigeria has an NBA coach in Mike Brown. Those are good teams, okay? So, you know, USA, thank God it's exhibition. Because if it wasn't, it'd be ugly right now. It'd be ugly. I mean, if you thought 04 was ugly when Duncan and Iverson lost and got bronze, give me a break. But, you know, I love the Olympics. It's always fun to watch. I love watching all the games, so I can't wait. It sucks that it didn't happen last year because of COVID. I'm happy it's going off this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. USA, you know, hopefully Bradley Beal can, get better before they have to go to Tokyo. I don't even know if he'll be able to travel to Tokyo at this point, but hopefully everything gets situated with him. But we got 10 minutes left. We're, at the tail end of this thing. I know everybody's watching the finals while we're doing this show. Devin Booker with four fouls, but 30 points in 28, 29 minutes. He's going in his bag after a really bad performance in game three. Giannis, two straight, 40-10 games. He's being a force right now. It's a close game. The Suns are up. You know, honestly, in my opinion, if the Suns steal this game, it's a wrap. But, I mean, I'd love to get your opinion, TP, what you're seeing, if you're watching the game, I'm pretty sure you are, what you're seeing so far in game four, and you know, just anything you want to talk about.
It's going to come down to the wire. That's what's, like, got me, like, nerve-rattled. But for Devin to be off to this type of start, he's 13 for 20 from the field and no threes. He's not hit a three. So all of that's been money underneath the perimeter and free throw shooting. Like, he is on a mission right now. So it's like they need somebody else to help him. I mean, Chris Paul can jump into this game and get it started. I mean, Chris has been doing a decent job, but, like, I'm really starting to see him get tired, and I don't like to watch him, you know, be frustrated with Drew Holiday defending him, and that is something that's bothering him. So, somebody else. I don't know if it is going to be Ayton or Crowder could come up with some of these timely threes, but the Suns could try and get this game. I really don't want the Suns to be in a scenario where the Bucks win this game and then they push them back to Phoenix, because a lot of pressure will be on the Suns. A lot of pressure. I don't feel like it's something that the Suns want if they want this to go back home. They have to win, like, now. Like, they got to win this now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bucks are – you know, they're playing bully ball. They finally figured out, hey, we're a bigger team than the Suns. Let's beat them up from the inside. So, you know, Brooke Lopez and especially Giannis got in the paint and really beating them up. So, they don't have the size. That injury to Darko is really huge. I mean, you know, that's, Frank Kaminsky just can't get it done on the inside. Ayton's got to play. He's got to play hero ball from now to the end of the series. Just stay out of foul trouble, and he has to be on the court. Serious. I mean, what are you seeing in game four so far? In tight game. I think they're up by three right now. And basically, you know, what are you seeing in game four, and what's the outlook?
You know, what I'm seeing right now in game four is Devin Booker making an atonement and a public apology to his teammates for what happened in game number three. Because literally he is carrying the Phoenix Suns. He's carrying them. Dude has 32 points. There is not another Phoenix Sun in double figures. Not Chris Paul, not DeAndre Ayton, not Bridges, not Crowder. Nobody else in the Phoenix Suns uniform is in double figures. He's making a public atonement. With that being said, this game's going to come down to the wire, like TC alluded to. And that was his first three, by the way.
He's on fire.
El Fuego, like I said, making a public apology for what happened. But this game's going to come down to the wire, and it's going to come down to free throw shooting. And in my opinion, the Phoenix Suns are the better free throw shooting team. And so I honestly think that the Phoenix Suns are going to find a way to close this out. I trust Chris Paul in crunch time, even though he may or may not be tired. He's missed some shots that he normally makes. I'm not sure if, age or tired or whatever is getting – there's another one. He's in his bag, bro.
Listen. They found out the weakness. Connaughton can't cover nobody. Anybody 1-3, right. He can't cover. I mean, he's a dead-arm shooter, but he can't cover nobody from 1-3. He can't.
Yep,
even Cameron Payne be going straight to the rim with him. As soon as Cameron get him, he goes straight to the rim with him.
Correct.
And you know what it is, though, TP? It's the switch. I told him to stop switching on Booker.
He has to do that through the screen. Are you giving him an open lane? Like, they have to. They have to. He's the weakest link right now. They're picking on him.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, you can't afford
that's
to
Dante's
sit him.
Job. That's Dante's job. He's playing Dante's
it's a
role.
Switch.
Yeah.
It's
a switch. That's it. You can't afford to sit him because of what he brings to you offensively, but on the flip side, he's a liability defensively, so... You know what I'm saying? Devin Booker or whomever he sits up on is just going to the rim. And another cat right now, Drew Holiday, 3-for-10. You know what I'm saying? Luckily, get out.
Yeah, he punched
that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Luckily Middleton has shown up and given Giannis some help, but this game's going to come down to free throw shooting, and like I said a second ago, I think the Phoenix Suns find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I mean,
it's getting deep water.
I hate his form, man.
I don't even like how he flicked
at
the rim. He did hit it. He did.
I like watching him. He's just gotten so much better. He's such a good story. He's really a good player. Like taking to his role, really learning from Chris Paul, and he's slick, man. He really is. But yeah, Devin Booker, in his bag right now. They can't guard him. They're throwing anybody they can at him. Stop switching. They're just picking their matchups and saying, you know what, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it. Like, it's insane. But, I think if somebody gets going, to your point, Sirius, other than Booker, if it's Chris Paul or Ayton, then you know what, they're going to steal this game. It's going to be a tight one. It's going to be a close one. So, Middleton's doing his thing. He's keeping them close. Giannis is Giannis, but it's going to be a tight game. It's going to be fun. So I don't know if we could probably scrape the bottom of the barrel, but we could start wrapping it up.
50 tonight. He is going to score 50 tonight.
It's going to happen.
Special. You don't see that very often in the finals, man.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. If
he keep this up, he's gonna have a 50-point night. I want to be like
What's
fair for the 50.
For
if he pull off 60 and it's fourth quarter lower, have mercy. Don't forget this
50,
kid hit 70 in a game
for
now.
Him because again, don't. He played like some hot garbage in game three.
Right,
yeah, they need
and
every
so, like
point
I,
right now.
Like
too.
I said, he's making an atonement right now, and
right.
again. So.
This could be one of them
and
games where you write his name
because
in the sky,
how
man.
He's doing it. It's how he's doing it, boys.
Yeah.
Like, he's going in there with the trees, getting inside the paint or inside the 3-point line and just getting buckets, man. Like, I think he needs to get a little bit more consistent in the playoffs, but that'll come. He's young, and it's just his first playoff. For him to do what he's doing in his first playoff run is just amazing. And it's only going to get better. I'm so happy for him, to be on this stage and to do what he's been doing. Cause he's like, I feel like he's one of those players that kind of gets disrespected a little bit, doesn't get his flowers because we don't really get to see them enough, but we know he can play. Boy can play. And everybody's seeing it. So I'm happy for him, but serious, give me a closeout as I'm sitting here watching this Space Jam commercial. Give me a break.
Yo, man. What up, man? It's your boy, Sirius, up in that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you gentlemen tonight, man. Shout out to those who download the show us some love, check out the website, links, blog, things of that nature, merchandise, hot off the press coming to you. Definitely check that out, man. Make sure you get yourself right, for the rest of the summer and into the fall, man. Hoodies and long tees and everything, man. Definitely check that out, man. Again, gentlemen, it's a pleasure. Catch up with you guys next time.
Yeah, and come on time next time. Give me no crap. Come on time. Yeah, we ain't got no time for those CP. Come on. Always a pleasure, man. Listen, get to the website. Get the new merch. We got the shirts. We got the sweatshirts. We got the hat, courtesy of Sirius and his peeps. That's available. So, listen, if you don't know what to get your lady, get her a hat, man. Get her a hat. She look cute in that little hat. Get her shirt. Get her right. Sports City. She can be cooking it, chefing it like the chef. So get to the website. Check that out. Get to the blogs, the podcasts, the interviews, everything, all the nine, listen, shout out to the barbershop doing big things over there, kind of our sister station. So you know, listen, we're making big moves. We're doing a lot of good things. CP, you know what to do, man. Close us out.
You already know how this go down, Sports City. Stay tuned. Tomorrow we have the baseball buffet. Sunday the brunch will be around as well. It should be pretty interesting. Hopefully we got something to talk about for this NBA Finals, depending on how the rest of this game goes down. Hopefully the series doesn't close out. We do have the Olympics in front of us. And, oh, yes, buckle up. Football is in the air. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Chefs. Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City.